Blog Talk Radio.
Melanin Law Enforcement Radio. Melanin Law Enforcement Radio, live on Tribe Family Channel, delves into the history of blacks in the field of law enforcement and how the community may be better served by increasing the numbers of diversity and inclusion, a term created to even the playing field. We are back live. I have Mr. Harold Parker Sr. right here co-hosting with me. We have some exciting information that we are going to be discussing as we get into the show. How are you today, Harold? Hello? Harold, can you hear me?
I'm doing great tonight. Yes, here we are. Sorry about that.
My
phone was on mute. I'm doing great and hope you're doing the same.
Thank you. I am great. Thank you so much for being here. And I am doing great. Even more so knowing that we have such a special announcement to make. We're going to get into the gist of the show first, and we're going to take a break, have our announcement, and come back with more information. So here's where we are today, ladies and gentlemen, on Black on the Beat. melanin law enforcement. You know, there's a myth out there that more black representation on police forces is the key to stopping the black killings by police officers. Just the other day, a man was grabbing some tea from his car in New Jersey, and he was shot and paralyzed, only 29 years old. 2 weeks ago, another killing. There's just over and over and over. A day ago in Alabama, if you do a search, you are going to find that in the news, you can just put in whatever keywords in your search engine based around law enforcement, black police, police, law enforcement, whatever you choose to start your investigation or your internal, reviews. But for me, Harold, I typed in black police and I was drawn to an article by Mustafa Ali Smith dated March 17th, 2022. It's on theappeal.org. And he talks about more black representation on police forces will not solve police violence. And I'm going to read a little bit about this and pan over to you for commentary. And also, of course, we know that you have done police ride-alongs in your capacity as a community safety liaison, and that is what we may have to go back to, is
yes,
really
absolutely
heightening more community interaction with the police, because the police, without them knowing the community they serve, they cannot serve the community. They don't know who is having mental breakdowns, who may be on the verge of a mental breakdown, or, you know, what type of situations are going on that can be easily diffused, even by the community getting to know the personnel. So let's jump into this, and we're going to pan over to you. And, of course, we know that you are an engineer, innovator, and you have ways and ideas that you are going to bring forth to the different police associations throughout the country. So this is groundbreaking and paradigm shifting. Now, the article says, in the wake of more horrific police killings, it's important to remember that black cops cannot fix America's fundamentally and racist policing system. This piece of commentary, part of The Appeal's collection of opinion and analysis. So it goes on to say, on January 8th, an off-duty sheriff's deputy in North Carolina killed Jason Walker, a 37-year-old black man. The cop who shot Walker, Cumberland County Sheriff's Deputy Lieutenant Jeffrey Hash, told police that Walker had jumped onto his car and smashed his windshield. Witnesses later said they watched Hash respond by exiting his car and shooting the unarmed Walker dead. Sadly, Walker's name joins the list of many others killed because of police violence. On February 2nd, the most well-known name added to the list in recent weeks was that of Amir Locke, who was shot to death by the Minneapolis Police Department in his home. In response to Locke's death, police are once again demanding that policing, in response to Locke's death, people are once again demanding that policing be fundamentally altered or abolished for good. One way of changing how police do their job, as some have suggested for years, is by having more black representation on police forces. Joe Biden, for example, ran for president in 2020 on a platform that included providing more funding for departments to diversify their ranks. The basis of the argument is that black police officers, because of their blackness, are supposedly less likely to carry out the violence that the institution of policing represents. Therefore, they can be the ones to help overcome that violence, especially in black and brown communities. Harold, what are your thoughts about that?
It's very disturbing, that's number one. Number two, it's very insulting. And it's insulting mostly to our intelligence as a people, as a human race. And it should be insulting to the country that we're still living in a time after all the fighting for freedom and justice that some of the same things is still happening, haven't changed, and won't change unless we take another approach. I can sit back, I can analyze some things, some thoughts that I have, that I would love to share tonight, my thoughts. But that's where I'm at right now, Beverly.
And you would be well within your rights to express those thoughts. Now, it goes on to say, this argument is misguided. More police officers are not needed, and certainly not black ones. According to recent statistics, black people are 3.5 times more likely to be killed by police than white people, and more than half of police killings go unreported or misclassified. These are the realities black people have been forced to live with due to American policing's roots in violence, racism, and white supremacy. Policing as an institution evolved from slave patrols in the early 1700s and from separate efforts to prevent labor organizing. Policing today remains centered around violence and the oppression of black and brown people. The argument that a diverse police force can prevent violence is almost as old as policing itself. In fact, the New York PD's first black officer, Samuel J. Battle, joined the force in 1911 in an attempt to improve relations between the New York PD and black New Yorkers. Battle instead faced severe racism from his own officers, including receiving a note with a likely fake bullet hole in it telling him to quit. More black officers followed Battle, but violence by police did not stop. Now, speak on that, please, and then we have a commercial break that we are going to take.
Well, it is known that there's definitely a great disparity when it comes to the number of police officers that's being harassed within the workplace and that is discouraged to actually become part of law enforcement. I don't know when you want to take this commercial break because what I got to say is going to be quite lengthy.
Go ahead. I want you to say it now.
Okay. Well, I would say the beginning starts where there is a system in place to design that's designed to discourage and cripple people of color from becoming officers in the first place. It all starts with the family structure and then education. Psychologically, children of color is systematically discouraged to become anything that presents an authoritative presence, not only locally but also through the media. Us as blacks has been conditioned to embrace conditioned to embrace playing those inferior roles
that are not good enough for us, and we accept those things. Say, for instance, just Netflix. In 2018, I was doing some studying on how Netflix pretty much just discriminated against blacks, them being in the front post of different covers, having those inferior roles, and playing different starring roles in these movies that will actually put us in a position of authority. You want me to go on?
I do want you to. I want you to expound in length.
Okay, awesome. So looking at that, well, knowing that three-fourths of what we encode is through our visual cortex, that becomes our perception, and our perception becomes our reality, it is definitely safe to say that our kids growing up don't have an authoritative figure to look up to. They don't have a vision. And when, you know, there's a scripture in the Bible that says, without a vision, the people will perish. And so our kids don't see that type of authoritative figure on television. They are experiencing the same anxieties and no figures even within the household. And when you look at the statistics regarding the household, the divorce rate, and other things that comes into place, like say for instance, 67% of the black children that are born these days come in a single parent home. 42% of the divorce rates is by black men and black women. So what type of authority figure do they even begin to see that they can even dream of becoming something great? And then we're not even in school yet. When we get to school, we're talking about the pipeline between school and prison and the path that has been taken for those kids to, for those kids to even begin to start something in law enforcement. You with me? Hello?
I really appreciate your comments. Oh, go ahead.
Yeah. So let's look at, again, the media. There's a site that's scholarworks.gsu.edu where it talks about an average of 10.5 hours of dramatic effects, fiction, and media consumption on political attitudes and social perceptions. All of this is looked at and viewed on the media. So these are definitely influences that's discouraging a lot of our, especially like black men. And I'll just tell you, they'll rather have, and no offense to even black women, but they'll rather have a black woman in the position of power than to give a man a starting role of a position of power. So we have to analyze and look at all of these factors that come into play. And if anything, they'll rather have a man in a dress. And that's no offense to the LGBT community. But, I mean, this is just the roles. This is just the roles that right now that's coming into effect right now that affects us for even having a mindset to dream to be someone in authority, you know, such as law enforcement or even a politician that that would even encourage the law to even change.
Well, I definitely find no disagreements with what you've said. And, you know, everything is weaponized against black people. So the fact that when we mention any form of weapons used to weaken our positions of having any authoritative or strong presence in society, it is used against us. Rap music, formerly known as conscious hip hop, is one of those paradigm shifts where the misogynist lyrics and the negative physical images, half naked, half dressed, flipping and flopping, playing the dozens, doing any and everything, and glorifying the lifestyle, dumbing down proper command of the English language, using disparaging images and material game that looks successful and looks like it's quote-unquote about that life, you see, terminologies and attacks on our culture is another device that's used against us. Education. Look at what just happened with the census. That means that black and brown folk get less money in the educational system. They undercounted the black and brown, Pacific Islanders, Asian American, but they overcounted the Caucasian community. So that means that the funding to educate the children in these overcounted communities will go to the white children. I'm going to keep it real, real right here because we're on Tri-Family Channel. We are in my house. And speaking of being in my house, we're going to take this commercial break because we have an amazing announcement coming up right after these messages.
Ever wanted to get away from it all? Maybe an inexpensive honeymoon, or even a second honeymoon, or just a mini vacation for the two of you? Now you can. You can go to the Shalites home, away from home, when they're not on tour. It's called the Shalites Dream Castle Villa, where you can relax in luxurious surroundings, where the staff and all amenities are at your full disposal. Their private gated villa offers 24-hour on-property security. Dream Castle Villa is just 20 minutes away from the newly constructed International Airport in Montego Bay, Jamaica. Enjoy incredible views of the Caribbean Sea and the Iron Shore Golf Course. The Shalites Dream Castle Villa is a relaxing, soothing, and romantic experience that's excellent for small private weddings, wedding renewals, engagement, anniversaries, or just a mini vacation for two. For reservations, visit their website at dreamcastlevilla.com or call toll-free at 888-747-9802 and see what other luxuries await you. Relax, just like the Shalites, at the Shalites Dream Castle Villa, and hold on to your dreams.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're not dreaming. Today, live, Black on the Beat, Melanin Law Enforcement Radio announces the acquisition by Mr. Harold Parker Sr. Yes, congratulations. We have a new owner in the building. You're talking about holding on to dreams. This innovative engineer has, oh my goodness, something else to let us know that's in the pipeline. So Mr. CEO, founder, Black on the Beat, Melanin Law Enforcement Radio acquirer, if that makes sense, Mr. Harold Parker Sr., what does it feel like to be on the cusp of presenting a new message and a new image to the world as the owner of Black on the Beat, Melanin Law Enforcement?
It's an honor and privilege. Also, it's a humbling experience. And I'm being prayerful that the words that I have to say, the invention that I have to offer for a part of a solution, would help benefit society in a whole. As Martin Luther King have said, there's goodness in every man, and that's his philosophy, but that has to be brought out. And it's our job. If we don't do it, then who will? And it's our job to bring out of that goodness out of man as much as we can. Even if we can't reach all of them, we can reach a few of them. And so, yes, it's very humbling, and I'm very privileged to have that opportunity.
Wow. Well, not only from me and the producers, but I want to say this from our listeners that can appreciate your message. We have looked at the analytics from this show, and the numbers are so great. Our followers continue to appreciate the messages and the movements that come out of this platform. And so what I have seen, and speaking from my heart, I have seen so many people grow from this platform And I'm going to be shouting them out all weekend because it is a beautiful, beautiful thing when I see and bear witness to, like, the growth and then the takeoff. You know, it's like you come on the runway, like this is the runway, and when I see that aircraft gaining speed, and then the next thing I know, it's taking off and it's delivering the message to different destinations. And I see that, and I speak that over you, because I'm telling you, I have to really sit down and count how many people started here on this platform and went on to grow on. And so I'm just honored, and it is a true privilege to add you to the tribe family. And we just want to let our listeners know that, you know, you have supported other shows. We have had you, in fact, on Men and Women of Honor yesterday. We were so delighted to have that conversation, to talk about not only the fact that you are an innovative engineer, talented person, but the men and the women that you are of, connected to, and, you know, have come through the lineage of the Parkers and the, you know, the mother's side and the father's side. And then you have a twin brother and, you know, sons, nephews. You have you're a fiance, you know, shout out to Demetrius, my queen, sister girl who I was already connected to before you and I met. And so I'm looking at all of this, and then you coming out of a creative family, coming out of a family that is conscious and aware and educated. Tell our listeners, because now you're adding radio show host to your profile, tell our listeners who Harold Parker Sr. is.
Well, as you said, I am an inventor. I am a fiancé. I'm also a father, a brother, a son, and now an owner of part of the radio show. And I'm privileged. Most of all, I'm a child of a king. And so I'm just glad to be taking part of this. And it's a great experience. I come up hard. And the school of hard knocks, so to speak. And
come on.
In my life, in my life, I've learned many things, but I realize the more that I learn and know, the less I know. So I'm just treating myself as a sponge and to educate myself and to become a more of a lifelong learner.
Well, praise be to God, praise be to God, and I give thanks and honor to God for the connections and for the continued growth of the brand family of connections that we have. We are looking forward to learning more about what solutions you will be offering, because our community does need voices such as yours. We know that being an engineer, you have something that you will be offering coming down the pipeline. So I'm going to allow you to give us some background about what that invention is before we get off the air. I want to continue to finish this article and have your insights and what you you know, extrapolate from what we're reading and where the problem lies and where you plan to introduce solutions and options and suggestions. We don't all have the answers, but definitely we want to hear the suggestions. And I know that between what you have created and what you continue to create and innovate is partly the solution that we definitely will be supporting and wanting to hear. So as we return
yes.
back to the article and get your further reflections, I just first want to again say congratulations to you, Mr. Harold Parker Sr., who is now speaking from a position of being the owner of Black on the Beat, Melanin Law Intimate Radio. So I, as an engineer and the CEO of Tri-Family Channel, take honor in receiving as you come forth with the messages for the shows following. I know that Black on the Beat Radio on Facebook has a lot of followers and it continues growing, and that some of the connections are with Black Police Associations. And so I just want everybody to be sure to visit facebook.com/Black on the Beat Melanin Law Enforcement. Like the page, support Mr. Harold Parker Sr., and let's try to come together as a people, as a diverse society, and understand the role that we all play, because you know, we're writing the script as we go along, but we do know our history. So let's get back to that. In the late 1960s, Afro-American columnist John Lewis reflected on the abuse of power and brutality by police officers across the country. Lewis was particularly angered by the murder of a Black man named Elijah Bennett, who was killed on October 8, 1968, by a white police officer in Washington, D.C., for merely crossing the street at the wrong place and time. Did you hear me? Killed for crossing the street at the wrong place and time. Why? For things that we watch other people of our skin color live with the freedom, even the audacity of hope, doing. Lewis's solution to violence by the Metropolitan Police Department of the District of Columbia and police violence across the country was to alter the composition of law enforcement in a way that included Black police officers. Black policemen, as Lewis would go on to write, do not shoot Black jaywalkers. While they may not have explicitly shot Black jaywalkers, Black police officers certainly made their mark of violence against their own. So that be the case, going back to what you were just saying about the positive role models and images and being in positions of authority, and how society would rather see a woman, a Black woman in position than a Black man, because they would still have control over the head. And as long as the Black man is not the head, he will be manipulated and used in such a way that fits and fills their agenda. Just like you said, they'd much rather see a Black man in a dress, and that is no slight to the LGBTQ community. It's that community just falls right in line with being used as a device. Harold.
Yes, and let me say this to the radio listeners. We're definitely not racist people. The things that we're spewing out are facts. You don't have to believe a word that we say. You can go and Google it, and it shows Statistica, PolitiFacts, all of these other references and resources you can go, and you can actually look at the results. It speaks for itself, the Census Bureaus. It speaks for itself. So I just wanted to point that out. And if you think that, you know, this is a problem, then you are not part of the solution, but part of a bigger problem. And from my standpoint, we must attack the area from a humanitarian standpoint, and we must attack it at a technological standpoint. Because we're not the ones that's owning ships and boats and airplanes and so forth, which I'm going to talk about in just a little bit, even when it comes to drugs. Because this has been one of the biggest bombs that's dropped into black society that has discouraged blacks from being an authority as well. It's a cycle, and I will explain that cycle here in just a moment, Beverly.
Absolutely. And when it comes to whether it's a race card or not, I would hope that our listeners understand that we, speaking for Tribe Family Channel, we have to call a thing a thing. See, it's okay for us to raise the bar, but let's not forget our roots, ladies and gentlemen. We have to understand that we are still in a fight. And when we look around us, we can see what the oppression is. And so we have to call it out. Doesn't matter. It can be blue, green, purple, multicolored, rainbow, white, black, brown, Pacific Islander, or Asian. I don't care. We have to call a thing because we have to believe what we observe, what we witness, and what we see. I don't care what they report. I don't care what they say. Believe your eyes and ears, because there is a term that was created in the last couple of years, and it is a term to illustrate the mental manipulation of information, and it's called gaslighting. So you have to do your research. You have to muddle through the mistruths, the lies, and figure out the balance between the information and your observations. So we're going to point out the observations, and we're going to disseminate the information. And Harold, I know you have a lot of information that will help tie all together, and it is so very necessary, and that's why we're so thankful that you are at the helm. So let's look to, like you said, you can Google and read the information, do your own investigation, collect your own empirical data so that you can compile the truth and formulate your own perspective about that information. But gaslighting is also something that you'll have to muddle through, because it is now part of the media. Now let's read on from Mustafa Ali Smith's perspective. In 1967, President Lyndon B. Johnson's Commission on Law Enforcement and Administration of Justice released a report titled "The Challenge of Crime in a Free Society." The report noted that, quote, "the relationship between the police and the community is so personal that every section of the community has a right to expect that its aspirations and its problems, its hopes and fears, are fully reflected in its police." What is your thoughts on that, Harold?
I totally agree. Personally believe that a community ought to have an authority figure such as law enforcement that looks like them and their community. It's not that you don't welcome people of the other race, But let's just be real. Since the 60s, it has not worked. Here it is, 2022, and it's still not working. I'm not promoting segregation, but what I am promoting is the ideology is let's start somewhere where policing and the community have a good relationship by establishing that first, and then we can move on to integrating the polices of other race into our communities. Because right now, it is something that's systematically being done with the black man that he is being driven to prison, and it's a cycle, and it's designed to keep him there. And a man can't get a job. He can't become an officer if he's a felon. I haven't seen that done before. Most of the time when you apply for jobs, people do a criminal background. After that, you don't hear anything else from them. But these type of things make it hard for a man to get a job when he's a felon. And I just wanted to sort of just start from start to finish the path that is taken from a child to an adult of what happened to that man, the black man, when he is institutionalized, when he don't have vision, what happens to him and how things become a cycle, and how even in the community, he's not even part of a community anymore, but rather he's institutionalized in prison and have a whole different mindset than what the authority figures have, such as law enforcement. This path starts where he has no vision and no self-identity. This starts in school. The kids, they lack of material in education. And we try not to make excuses, but this is just raw truth. It's the material in education there because therefore they have a lack of interest in education because they don't have a vision. They don't have any self-identity. Also, frustration began to take effect, and out of those frustrations, they get into fights and doing other things in school. Therefore, they're suspended. So now they no longer qualify to go to college or any type of scholarships, and they either drop out, period, from school, or from becoming a dropout, they'll begin working straight into the streets selling drugs. And so once they get caught selling drugs, it's just a Pandora box. It's a revolving door that they experience. Once they go into prison, they're institutionalized into that type of lifestyle. They come out and back, there's no hope for them, so they're right back in prison. And where do that leave us? That leaves us without children, without fathers and role models in the household, and also leave us without authority figures and examples to go by to get people of color or black, specifically black men, motivated and even having an idea that they can be an authority figure, such as law enforcement.
Awesome, awesome. And we are looking forward to furthering the cause of increasing the family dynamics and positive law enforcement, positive authoritative figures in our own communities, in our own households. I believe that Black on the Beat, Melanin Law Enforcement will be a positive presence in that role, and what you're doing, the messages that you're sounding off. Now, I want to have you further expound because, some of what we're reading here might be the rub about the situation, but as our listeners, I hope, can perceive, Harold, you are definitely offering, the upside and solutions to the problems that exist. So I keep coming back to the problems, but I do understand and appreciate that every time you speak, you're speaking to the solutions. You're speaking to, what can enable us to rise from the very problems that we have. And even though it's not the race card, we are dealing with race. When it comes to law enforcement. So we definitely have to, you know, sound that alarm. And, you know, and let's be honest, not all racism against black people are by non-blacks, if I can read further. Now, we know that Lyndon B. Johnson's Commission on Law Enforcement and Administration of Justice released that report, right, for the challenge of a crime-free society. It was noted that there should be a strong personal relationship between the police and their community. Now, with that, it offered hopes a police force that fully reflected the community. This article further expounds that not only were black people pushing for increased police representation, but local and federal governments had joined the chorus. In response, cities across the country began targeting black people in recruiting campaigns. In Philadelphia, where communities had historically endured police violence, the city began urging its residents via billboards to cop in, don't cop out, and to join Police Commissioner Frank Rizzo's team. Despite these efforts, the outcome that followed was not what advocates for police black police officer inclusion and recruitment wanted. Philadelphians later noted that those black officers who joined were as brutal, if not more, than white officers. Even black officers who perhaps thought of themselves as being pro-black or at least not anti-black engaged in aggressive encounters against black Philadelphians who they viewed as a threat against law and order. Now, I am going to post this in the group for anyone that wants to continue reading on this, but the key word that I am going to take out of this article and ask you to use the time that we have left to expound about is police encounters. Because what if there was an invention, ladies and gentlemen, that could reduce police encounters? I know that when my kids leave out, I do not want especially my sons to have a police encounter. I don't care if they call me and say, Mama, the police got me over here, but don't worry, he's black. Don't worry, she's black. Don't worry, he's not white. Don't worry, she's not white. It's not about the color, ladies and gentlemen. It's about the policing and the encounter. Person behind that badge and the ethics about them and their job and how they feel about policing in the community. Because remember, Lyndon B. Johnson's report said the relationship between the police and the community is so personal that every section of the community has a right to expect that its aspirations and problems, its hopes and fears are fully reflected in its police. So the expectation of when we encounter the police, say, for instance, we're calling for help. We want that encounter, no matter the color, to be the call, the right call for the help in the situation that we're in, because we are about to have a police encounter. Mr. Harold Parker Sr., new owner of Black on the Beat, Melanin Law Enforcement Radio. Please expound before we close out the show and take as much time as needed. Exhaust your thoughts, because that's why we're here, to engineer and make sure that your message is delivered.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Beverly. As I've started from the beginning explaining one part of the solution from a humanitarian standpoint, I would like to dive into the technical standpoint that can help, knowing that blacks are three and a half times more likely to get shot by police than any other race. I like to dive into a solution that I've came up with in 2006. And I believe this will help reduce the amount of racial profiling by not having those mistaken identities, high-speed chases, and traffic stops, in which most blacks are killed, and statistics shows within 15 feet away from each other. So the solution that I came up with was called DTTS, Digital Tag Tracking Systems. The system is a digital license plate, in which I designed it has about four functions. One of the functions, no longer you have to go into the DMV, you have to wait in line or sit down for those long hours or taking your coffee break, your lunch break, to go and just sit there. And also it helped reduce paper in the DMV. So no longer you have to sit there to get your decals and your driver's profile updated. You can just simply go on to your computer, go log into the website or on your cell phone, pay for your registration. Automatically when you walk outside, your decals are updated, your registration information is updated, and at your discretion, because they do have HIPAA laws, you can actually implement your medical information, your medical records. That way, if EMS happen to approach you, they may know how to treat you if you are the type of person that might have, concussions or different type of seizures. So they will know how to treat you and any other kind of ailment that you might have. The next feature is called instant data transmission. Now, this is one of the biggest features when it comes to law enforcement and the encounters with black men. This feature automatically allows the officers to query your data from your driver's profile from the license plate itself. What this does, it reduces the high-speed chases, the racial profiling, because they know who's driving the car or supposedly who's driving the car. The high-speed chases, they can just use the RFID satellite technology to triangulate the location of the vehicle. This way they're not driving directly behind them and causing them to run into a tree or crash. And the high-speed, so it just completely really cuts off the high-speed chases. Even with traffic stops, it cuts off those checkpoints. If you're checking to see if your license is updated or your registration and your license plate number is up to date, it cuts all of that out because the plate itself won't even function. And this can be done remotely by simply, cutting the tag off itself and disabling it. So it even reduces the high-speed chases and the traffic stops. So there won't be too many encounters or excuses for officers to come to someone and blast someone. And it also allows them to feel safe as well and allows them to accurately apprehend the person that they are after, the traffic violator, the repeat offender, the person that has the DWIs and DUIs. It allows them to apprehend those type of peoples accurately without mistakenly, quote-unquote mistaken, because most of the time it's not a mistake. And this allows them to do that. The next function is the AMLERS. If a person is in need of help, they want the signal for help, they have panic mode and neutral mode. Panic mode being if they someone was after them and they need emergency help right away, they can just hit the panic mode button. The neutral mode will be if they need roadside assistance. And this allows the dispatch coordinators from the offices, you know, that's in law enforcement to be able to prioritize those calls and send the people, send the officers out to the people that need the help immediately, because the worst thing you would want to do is see someone that had a chance to live, not live because they was a couple of seconds away from getting and reaching them, and EMS also was a couple of seconds away from getting them to resuscitate them back to life. So those are some of my features that I've implemented. You know, I can go on and on about terrorists, how it could be used in the military with checkpoints, easy pass, so you don't have to stop anymore. It allows the tag automatically. You can just pay for it, prepay for your registration, and your easy pass will allow you just to pass through unless you're flagged. So those are some of the features that I implemented to keep us all safe, both passengers, drivers, and the police officers safe, because now they're allowed to even be hands-free through my instant data transmission program, where they can query through innovative voice response and voice recognition software. Say, for example, they could say query L1, that'll be the first car to the left, or query R2, the second car to the right, or query F3, which will be the third car in the front. So they can query these different vehicles, be able to lock in on their node or an IP, unique IP address, then triangulate their geographical location where those vehicles are. And so how great would that be to help reduce the crime in the neighborhoods, reduce the crime also that has been planted even against black people? That's all I have to say, Beverly.
Wow. Congratulations again. Congratulations. I feel that this is paradigm shifting, game changing, and it has enormous value to the world, to the community, to society, and to saving lives. So what we are definitely going to be doing moving forward is hearing your voice come more to the forefront as I receive back to the background, so that now we can take the path towards making sure that such an important life-saving device does make it to market. We're going to assist in seeking out angel investors and anyone that will be well vetted and referred to you without disclosing anything, but so that you can review what they may have to offer to help bridge the gap between idea, patented, ladies and gentlemen, don't get it twisted. This man has patented this invention, and to go on forward to its fullest level of fruition, because I know from speaking to you before that the prototype and the revisions are worlds apart from each other. And so we can definitely, like you said, going back to your Bible verse in the beginning about having vision, you have to have vision to be able to see forward solutions to the problems in your community. Now, we know that not only are you an engineer, you're an innovator, because you can definitely use your experience and continue to revise and innovate so that we have the most current technology capable in the devices that come out of your lab. And just to have you on the mic now and to be able to add to that, radio show host, the conversation will continue to grow. The people that need to get in touch with you, how can they do so? Because I know that people are going to want to know more about connecting with you, about becoming a guest on your show, and definitely about this up-and-coming device that is designed to save lives. So with the last few minutes left, Mr. Harold Parker Sr., new owner of Black on the Beat, Melanin Law Enforcement. Tell our listeners where they can contact you, and we are going to close out with you giving us the last words.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Beverly. You can contact me at haroldcparker@hotmail.com, or you can reach out to me on LinkedIn. We have a lot of things under development right now. We have our website under construction. And also, we are working to have the actual working model of the prototype, in which you guys already have seen on LinkedIn and Facebook, the virtual prototype itself. We have the engineers in place. That's the hardware and software developers. They're already in place. But we need our investors to come on and join us on this quest to make the world better, not just for blacks, but for everybody. It's always been my dream to actually make a difference in society. Ever since I started at 15 years old, help building and becoming a part of a team building electric cars, that way we can help reduce the carbon fumes that was in the environment and in the atmosphere and the ozone layer. I've always been on the quest to try to help make life better. That's what technology is designed for. I believe that it's all in the perfect hand and will of God, and it's a requirement for the universe. And so I charge you, if you're listening to me and under the sound of my voice, to definitely part in this quest. It's not just for me. And your investment won't go in vain, because there's a lot of money to be made when you look at how many vehicles that's registered in the United States, around about 253 million vehicles. Can you imagine if you made an investment, you know, how much money you can actually generate if we're doing every state? So just think about that. It's definitely worth the investment. You're contributing to a good cause, and it will come back. Either way, it will come back.
Amen, amen. And once again, congratulations to your acquisition of Black on the Beat, Melanin Law Enforcement Radio, that will be used as a vehicle towards getting these investments secured. And congratulations, you have a great, phenomenal team in place, and we are looking to the future for great paradigm shifting inventions from your lab. Have a blessed evening, and thank you once again. We will be back on the air with Melanin Law Enforcement on April 2nd at the same Tribe Family channel, same Tribe Family number. So be blessed and be a blessing, and enjoy a blessed rest of your weekend. Harold, once again, to our listeners, that email address, and say good night so that we can close out.
It is Harold C. Parker, H-A-R-O-L-D, C as in Charlie, P as in Papa, A-R-K-E-R, @hotmail.com. God bless you and have a wonderful night. Peace and love.
against the kingdom's throne. So people get ready, there's a train of coming. You don't need no baggage, you just get on board. All you need is faith to hear the beat of harmony. Don't need no ticket, you just thank the Lord.